I am thankful for the opportunity to be back in Wichita. I appreciate the saints here. I've enjoyed being in the meeting. I had opportunity a while back to be with an atheist. And it seemed like to me this atheist was trying to convert me to his way of thinking and his lifestyle. And it wasn't working. And finally, the atheist told me, "There is no God." But his blasphemy was so awful that he included a vulgar adjective with the name of God. He failed in his attempt to convert me, but he did make a real impression on me. And the Lord brought to my mind this scripture, Psalms 14 and 1. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Now, there are people many times that make foolish statements that are not fools. But if you make this statement, you are a fool. If you say that there is no God. I notice that it says, in his heart. Now, sometimes thoughts come through our minds. And we have to guard our minds. The thought may come in and we need to be careful about what kind of thoughts stay in our minds. But I notice it says that a fool hath said in his heart. It's something that has gone beyond the mind. It has gone deeper than the mind. And down in his heart, he has become fully persuaded that there is no God. The heart represents a man's innermost being, the seat of his affections, his emotions, the very core of what a man is his heart. And when a man abandons faith that deeply, so that in his heart he says there is no God, he is truly a fool. In Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If thou shalt believe in thine heart, in the very core of your being, that there is a God, you can be saved. But if in your heart you have abandoned faith to the extent that you no longer believe in God, you have made yourself a fool. The thoughts of the mind can become the beliefs of the heart if we allow them to linger long enough. And the fool has said that there is no God. Why would anyone come to the place that they would say that there is no God? Is it because creation is unimpressive? Are we really that unimpressed with what God has created? I find life to be amazing. Scientists would love to be able to create life. In fact, they've been trying for a long time to replicate life, and they simply cannot do it. If I had a dead frog here this morning, and I challenge you, here is something that has every organ needed for life, but it's dead. And I challenge you, just go ahead and restart life in this dead frog. Would you be able to do it? You wouldn't even have to create any of the organs. They would all be there. Just go ahead and make the frog live. Can't do it. God is an amazing God. To create life. I think about the variations of life. How amazing it is. The smallest life form that scientists know about is the nanobe. Nanobes are so small that you can fit 1.27 million in 1 inch. Could you create life that small? What an amazing God. I think about how fragile life is. Do you realize that we just happen to live on a planet, the only one in the universe that we know about, that things are just right for us to be able to live? Did you know that temperature makes a big impact on our lives? We thought it was really something when we had 112 degree weather in Oklahoma. Oh, we were looking forward to cooler weather. Well, I'd like to ask you, how would you like to live on Mercury? It gets to 800 Fahrenheit there. And it gets down as cold as negative 300 Fahrenheit. It'd be hard to stay alive, wouldn't it? Isn't it amazing how we just happen to live on a planet where the temperatures are just right for us to stay alive? To contrast, on Earth, the coldest they've measured are about negative 129 in Antarctica and 136 in Libya. Quite a contrast. But most of the places where man lives, it's much more mild than that. What an amazing God. For it just to have happened to be that way. What about atmosphere? On Mercury, there's about 0.13% oxygen. You couldn't breathe fast enough to stay alive. But on Earth, 21% oxygen. It just happens to be right. If there was a little bit less oxygen, we would all be gasping for breath. If the percentage was a little bit low. If the percentage happened to be high, it would be burning our lungs. Isn't that amazing? Did that just happen to be? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And consider, why do we even have an atmosphere here on Earth? The moon has no atmosphere. Well, scientists have been learning about these things. And the more they learn, the more convinced we ought to become that there is a God. Because it keeps pointing to the fact that there is one. If a planet mass is too small, it does not have enough gravity to retain the atmosphere. The atmosphere will just dissipate in that outer space. So another amazing thing about our Earth is we have the right amount of gravity. We have the right amount to keep the air here on Earth. But if the temperature on Earth was too hot, then the molecular action of the air would cause it still to dissipate into outer space. Isn't that amazing? It just happens to be right for us to live here on Earth. What about water? One of the things that scientists keep reporting on about different planets and moons and things is, we thought we saw a trace. There might be some water there. You know why they're so interested? Because you must have water to have life. And I think it's partly they would like to be able to prove that, oh, life could have happened here and could have happened there and could have happened the other place. And this isn't such a big freak accident after all. But of all things, they keep finding, we just can't seem to find anything that would support life out there. Yes, sometimes maybe there are little traces of frozen water, but what about the atmosphere? What about the temperature? What about the gravity? All these other things. What about food? Would you like to be able to eat? Would you like to be able to drink? What about the size of the universe? Does that impress you? I believe it goes on infinitely. They keep finding millions, hundreds of millions of light years out, new planets. Not new, but ones that are new to them. New galaxies to them. They keep finding these things. How could we say there is no God? Consider the complexity of the human body. As man learns more and more about it, the more impressive it is. Imagine a body being self-healing. Isn't that amazing? Something goes wrong and it heals itself. Have you ever heard of a machine to do that? The human genome has approximately 3 billion base pairs of DNA arranged in 46 chromosomes. Now, a genome is a complete set of genes or genetic material present in a cell or organism. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me, other than the fact that the human body is immensely complicated. So when scientists try to replicate life, they have an amazingly complicated job on their hands. Let's get into the very key of what makes a person a person. Why they have that color of hair or that color of eyes or why they're that tall or whatever it may be. Let's study all these codes that make up a person who they are. What? There are over 3 billion base pairs of information about who you are? That sounds like an overwhelming problem to me. And the fool has said that there is no God. Think about the diversity of the animal kingdom. And we don't have time today to go over the entire animal kingdom. But I would like for you to consider fish. The colors, the shapes, the sizes of fish. Have you ever been to a large saltwater aquarium? They have one in Chicago, I believe it is. And the different colors of fish, just the colors, the brilliant colors, are just amazing. The shapes, the way that they swim, all of those things, it is fascinating. You can spend hours there. And to say that all this came by chance, it'd be a foolish thing to say, wouldn't it? There are fish that are so small that live in Indonesian swamps that the full-grown fish is 0.3 of an inch long. So three of them in an inch, roughly. Contrast that with a whale about the size of a bus. The diversity of life is just amazing that God has created. There are fish that breathe air. There are fish that have gills that get their oxygen from the water. Just the sheer diversity of God's creation. There are fish that fly through the air to escape their predators. I've seen them. It is amazing. And to say that all this just evolved. There are blind fish that spend their entire lives in underground rivers and pools. And in 1960, men dove down to the deepest part of the ocean, 6.8 miles down. And down that deep, the pressure is over 1,000 times the pressure on the surface. They looked out the window and you know what they saw? Fish. Under all that pressure, could you create a fish that could survive 1,000 times sea level pressure? It is amazing, the God of our creation, what He has done. And yet, they're ever searching and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, ever learning. Lord, help us not to be fools and to say that there is no God. There are angler fish. And these angler fish, dangling out in front of their mouths, is a little, it looks like a little fishing rod and a lure. And they wiggle that, and the other little fish come to get the bait, and they open their mouth and catch the fish. Isn't it amazing what God has created? There are fish that light up, literally light up. There are fish that emit electrical shocks that can stun and kill. And we're just talking about fish. What about all the other diversity of God's creation? There are migratory birds that are shorebirds that nest in the Arctic tundra of northernmost Canada. Now, the Arctic Circle, way up there where it's so cold, north part of the world, and they winter as far south as Tierra del Fuego, the southernmost part of South America. One-way trip is up to 10,000 miles. Isn't that amazing? A little animal making that trip through the air. What a mighty God. When it is not nesting season, sea turtles may migrate hundreds or even thousands of miles. Most females return faithfully, notice this, to the same beach each time they are ready to nest. Not only do they appear on the same beach, they often emerge within a few hundred yards of where they last nested. Now they migrate sometimes thousands of miles. No GPS. Isn't it amazing? And how did they evolve into that? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Consider the greatness of God's creation. The seasons, a time for crops to be planted, to grow, to be harvested. I love our seasons. I enjoy the snow of the winter. I enjoy the cold. I enjoy the summertime. I love a time that new leaves are starting to come out and birds are building their nests. I love the falling of the leaves. I love hunting deer in the fall. It is such a beautiful thing that God has created. It isn't that way on Mercury. It's not that way on Jupiter. But God created a beautiful place for us to live. Consider the beauty of God's creation, the colors He made for us to enjoy, the flowers. Do you ever take time to look at the detail of a flower? How ornate they are. And so many flowers go unnoticed. Nobody ever even sees some flowers. But yet they are ornate and beautiful. And also they have a beautiful smell. What about the beauty of a rainbow? What about the beauty of a sunset? Have you ever enjoyed that? Sometimes I just love looking at the formation of clouds and the way the light is going through them. Was it evolution? Was it by chance? Or do we have a great God that this is His handiwork, this is His artwork? The fool has said, oh, there's no God. In Psalms 104, and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Verse 10, He sendeth springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, and the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall all the fowl of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. Have you ever enjoyed the singing of a bird? What about a mockingbird? I love to just listen. Their vocabulary of bird calls is amazing. How did they ever evolve into that? And the Lord waters them. Verse 13, He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Verse 19, He appointeth the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves and lay down in their dens. Man goeth forth into his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. And I would be blind to look upon the riches of God's creation and to say that there is no God. So this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts, there go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Men feel like that they are somehow in control of it all. And they're so worried, oh, this species may go extinct. And that species. And they make great efforts. They pass laws. And there are people that dedicate their lives to perhaps the saving of some little rodent. God has it in control. If it was up to me, these animals would be dying left and right. I couldn't supply enough streams to give them enough drink. I couldn't cause the crops to grow, the grass to grow. But there is a God that takes care of them all. So I can rest and realize He's the one that has this world in His hands. Verse 28, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. In Job chapter 38, we get to look into a conversation, listen in to a conversation between God and Job. Job 38 and verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness for a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Well, I'll be honest with you. There was a beginning to my days. I wasn't around back when the first morning started to command the sun to come up. I wasn't there. It is a fool that says there is no God. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place? Verse 18, hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. O you fool that says there is no God, tell me how life is created. Tell me how the world came to pass. Tell me all these things. Go ahead and show your wisdom. I believe there is a God. And He is the one that did it. How is it that a man can say that there is no God? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 and 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a wise man, and doeth them. I'm sorry. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Those that hear the gospel, that see the beauty of creation, and say there is no God. I want to tell you what He's likened to. He's likened to a man that built his house on the sand. And when the storms of life came, when the judgment shock came, his house fell. And oh, great was the destruction of that man. How is it that a man can say that there is no God? I believe part of the answer is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Peter said, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old." Willingly ignorant. Willing to disbelieve. Willing to blaspheme God. Willing to ignore all the evidence. Willing to resist the draw of the Holy Spirit. Willingly ignorant, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind. A mind that was beyond repair. Why are people willingly ignorant? They don't want anything to interfere with their enjoyment of sin. In the world, they call it getting rid of your inhibitions. You need to get rid of your inhibitions so you can enjoy yourself. So that you enjoy the full pleasure of sin. Willingly ignorant, see? Willing to let go of their conscience. Willing to deny that there's a God. So that they can enjoy their sin without remorse. They don't want to feel guilty. In Luke chapter 12. Verse 16, He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Notice the mindset of a fool. Take thine ease, soul. Don't worry about your eternal soul. Don't worry about right and wrong. Let go of your inhibitions. Let go of those hang-ups that you have from your youth that you learned in Sunday school. Let go of them so you can enjoy your life. My soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, be merry, party on. You only have one life. You're only young one time. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." When God calls us a fool, we are a fool. Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are so many things that we consider foolish. Playing chicken with cars. Have you ever heard of that? Going head first at each other and seeing who can hold on to the last moment without swerving aside so you don't have a head-on collision. Perhaps I shouldn't say that in the presence of young people. Foolish. bypassing electrical safeties so that you can make something work without all the protections in place. I heard about an engineer that bypassed some safeties on some heavy equipment. Light beams that if your body parts got into where the heavy machinery came together, it would stop the machinery. He bypassed it and put his head in to see something. Foolish. He paid with his life. These are foolish things. People do a lot of foolish things. I've done some foolish things myself. But to say that there is no God from your heart, I'm not saying the thought may have crossed your mind, but when you have allowed that to stay in your mind and pondered that thought and flirted with that thought, and that becomes resident in your heart and it becomes who you are, and you say, there is no God, that is foolish. There has been an atheist bus ad campaign in England. Started in England, and it spread to other parts of the world. They had this big sign plastered on the bus, and the sign said this: there's probably no God. Now stop it worrying and enjoy your life. Notice the sign did not say, there is no God. That would have immediately brought people's defenses up. You're telling me there's no God? Wait a minute, you can't even prove that. You can't prove there's no God. But notice what they said. They said, there's probably no God. Now how can you argue with that? It was intended to plant doubts, seeds of doubts in people's minds, to get people to thinking. And you know the real intent. If we strip away all the requirements of God, if we can abandon His commandments, then we can go ahead and enjoy life like we really want to enjoy it. If there are no longer any barriers between men and women, if there are no longer any ethical barriers between men, between adults and children, between me and my neighbor's property, if we can just get rid of all those barriers, then can't we enjoy life and not feel guilty about it? Oh, what a fool to believe such a thing. This same group, atheist group, that is fighting against the belief in God is also pushing for children to be raised with no religious training whatsoever. As if it's the child's right not to be indoctrinated in any kind of religion. A fool has said there is no God. Why does saying that there is no God make us a fool? Well, one reason is the evidence that there is a God is overwhelming. It doesn't matter how much education you have, how much learning you have. The more you learn, the more convinced you ought to be there is a God. The more technology develops, the deeper into space those telescopes see, the more about DNA they learn, I'm all the more amazed about the creation of our God. Education and learning are not evidence that there isn't a God. They try to make it that way. It's your ignorance that's making you believe in God. No, it's your foolishness that is keeping you from believing in God. Why does it make us a fool to say that there is no God? There's a second reason. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It is foolish because there are great consequences to not believing in God. It is extremely foolish. There will come a day that God will say, thou fool, if we choose not to believe in God. But I would like to conclude in saying that a wise man says, there is a God. And I will believe in Him. And I will live for Him. And I will fear Him. And I will love Him with all my heart.